Lord Christ, may your blood fall upon us and upon our children. Amen. Be seated. Today we are invited to the foot of the cross, as we are each Palm Sunday in Good Friday, to think about the circumstances of our Lord and Savior. There's not a whole lot to teach. It's just to feel that weighty day, that day when Jesus was willing to be taken away by soldiers, mocked, flogged, and crucified. Although we started out very differently as we waved palms to experience that triumphant entry, we had his supporters waving, putting cloaks down, shouting Hosanna. And then we had some other city dwellers not aware of who Jesus was, scratching their heads and saying, "Who is this? Who is this guy? Who does he think he is?" Pontius Pilate in town was probably also wondering the same thing as the city grew in turmoil. In the next few days, Jesus would do controversial things like clear the money changers out of the temple, tell parables that got people riled up, get into arguments with the Pharisees and the scribes around the temple itself. And finally, after his final supper with his friends, be betrayed by one of his own disciples. Who is this guy? That's really the question offered to each of us as we enter into Holy Week, to think about. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth from Galilee? Not a very hospitable place to come from. Who is this guy that was led away after having arrived triumphantly on a donkey? Who is this guy who would hang on the cross and refuse to curse God or the forces that put him there, but being led to wonder, "Where are you, God, in my pain?" Which character stands out for you in the narration today? Every year, it seems, we get a couple little insights as we go through the Passion narrative. Some days I'm really drawn to Pilate scratching his head and wondering, why is everybody so intent on killing this innocent man? And then who is willing to completely shift the blame from himself and literally wash his hands of the affair? Sometimes I'm drawn to Pilate. Were you? Sometimes I find myself like the bystanders who are thinking, what's going to happen when he's up there? Maybe Elijah or an angel would come and rescue him. Sometimes I feel like I'm one of the people on the outskirts, one of the outer bunch who are hoping God's going to call down fire and brimstone and lightning and get him off of that cross. But he still hangs there. Sometimes I wonder if I'm one of the religious elite like the scribes or the Pharisees, feeling threatened by this new way of looking at the Bible, this new way of preaching God's love and mercy. How much am I invested in how things always should be? Could I hear a new voice, even if it was coming from a guy from the sticks with a rustic kind of accent who had no great family lineage as far as I knew, some guy named Jesus? Would I be threatened? Maybe I would. And then at other times, especially in Matthew's telling of this story, I think of the crowd outside the judgment pavement where Pilate is trying to figure out what's going on here, and the religious authorities have whipped them into a frenzy, and so they're willing to shout, "His blood be on me, his blood be on us, and on our children." Now that phrase has been used to whip up violence against the Jews. See, they did it. They sent him to his death. But I don't think that's really what Matthew wants us to take away from this scene. Because the blood of Jesus is what? Where do we talk about the blood of Christ?
In the
right up there, don't we?
Matthew leaves us with.
His blood be on us. That communion with God that can only happen because Christ was willing to go to the cross and shed that blood to show us the length that God would go to bring himself to us. That blood be on us. Be that blood in mercy poured. May it fall upon us, and yes, upon our children. But we don't really like to talk about that, do we? I mean, blood? But in the Bible, blood is how covenants and promises were made. Moses, out there in the wilderness, as he asked the people, are you really in this with me? Are we together here? God would like to make a covenant with you. And they did what they did, which was sacrifice, a lamb, a goat, a bull. And then Moses took that blood and spread it all over the people. The kind of thing we do with nice, clean baptismal water. Moses did it with blood. All over the people. If you didn't get anything on you, you weren't in there. So, your blood. That blood represented the covenant. And yet, that was how God talked. That is how God acted. Through blood, the life-bearing liquid. So as you kneel at the cross, see the blood-colored vestments to remind us that this week is not for seeing. This is a grim and gory week, especially the last day of it, Friday. We are introduced on this Palm Sunday to the fact that we should be in that crowd, wondering, who is it? And why is he doing this? And eventually, may his blood of the new covenant fall upon me too. I hope you'll come back at some point for one of the other special liturgies of the week to transport us through these days to Holy Week into Easter. But as we kneel today, as we contemplate the cross, may the blood of that new covenant be renewed.